It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The Illinois Senate returned to Springfield last week. The House returns today, as we just heard from Speaker Welch before the break. And the two chambers will spend the next several months trying to address a projected $2.2 billion budget shortfall, along with rising costs for housing, health care, and insurance. I'm joined now by John Curran, the Senate Republican leader. He represents the 41st District and is from Downers Grove. Leader Curran, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Brian, very nice to be back with you.
As before, we tape this conversation on Friday afternoon in order to make schedules meet. So just wanted to note that we're not taking calls, but you can let us know what you thought. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. All right, you have said your caucus wants to focus on making life more affordable for Illinois families. Funnily enough, Speaker Welch said the same thing. I wonder from your perspective, though, what does that look like?
Well, I mean, Brian, this is not new for the Illinois Senate Republicans as a focus this year. This has been our focus for the last several years. It's good to see our Democratic colleagues coming around on that. Because a lot of what we want to address are policies that have been put in place by the Democratic majority and Governor Pritzker that are actually making life more expensive and unaffordable for Illinois families. So I'm optimistic that, from what I'm hearing from the Democratic leadership, that we may have some meeting of the minds and some opportunities for some bipartisanship in producing some good public policy for all of Illinois.
Can you give me a couple of four instances on some of the policies you say that are making life more expensive that there may be a meeting of the minds on?
Well, I mean, I don't know if we're going to have a meeting of minds yet, but if you want to bring a cost of living for Illinoisans down, let's talk about taxes. Let's talk about some of the energy policies that have been put in place. We don't have increased energy demand, yet prices are skyrocketing. We do not have a data center build out that's occurred in Illinois yet. We have some data centers, but we don't have the robust data center build out that's going on in other states. Yet we have been taking generation offline through policy. And so when you're cutting generation, that is raising the prices of energy for all Illinoisans, as we also continue to pass subsidies for wind and solar onto the backs of Illinois ratepayers. So the most recent energy bill has taken rate caps out of place. And there's only one reason to do away with rate caps, and that is rates to allow rates to go up even further. So near term is not a good outlook. So we have an opportunity this spring to get back in there, put the rate caps back in place, and actually push out some of those deadlines on taking generation off the grid and actually put it, let the market more so dictate as a way to bring down costs in energy prices. So that would be one example. So I'm hopeful we can have some meeting of the minds and some kind of robust discussions around that.
One of the things the speaker pointed to was the elimination of the grocery tax. This was passed a while back. It went into effect this year. Although, as we discussed on our program a couple of weeks ago, a lot of communities and counties have reimposed that tax. What do you think of that as a way of, sort of giving a break to taxpayers, so to speak?
Brian, we voted, that was bipartisan. We voted in favor of eliminating the grocery tax. But the reality is, a lot, as you point out, the grocery tax is still in place. So there is no net savings to the vast majority of consumers around the state, especially up in my area, which I represent, the western suburbs. So I guess if that was the objective, I would say we failed. And we basically just shifted who's to blame for the grocery tax onto local governments is all that occurred in that legislation.
Numbers on a potential budget deficit are in flux, in part because of the uncertainty with everything from federal trade policy to the Trump administration withholding funding for certain programs in certain states. But the best numbers I've seen from the governor's office were last fall, $2.2 billion budget gap heading into the next fiscal year. What is the Senate Republican approach to trying to close that?
Brian, we've increased the budget has increased under Governor Pritzker spending 40% in 7 years. So this is an opportunity to constrain state spending, we should meet the opportunity, rein in state spending. We cannot continue on that that rate of increase, 40% over 7 years. That is simply unaffordable for Illinoisans. So that is something this budget cycle, we need to lean more into living within our means.
Isn't a big part of that increase, though, inflation and just keeping up with the significant inflation that we've seen in the past few years?
Brian, 40% over 7 years? I mean, inflation is not up nearly at that pace. So is inflation...
I was doing some quick Googling. I'm seeing maybe 29. This is a very quick Google.
Is inflation part of that? Yes. Yeah. But I mean, it has been, you know, this governor, every time, I mean, every budget, it is a slew of tax increases, fee increases, fund sweeps, as they find ways to spend more and more money.
Governor Pritzker has blamed federal policy changes for some of that budget pressure. I wonder what role you see federal cuts playing in the Illinois budget picture.
You know, Brian, when President Biden was in the White House, the Governor Pritzker's own five-year budget projections projected an average annual budget deficit of $4.6 billion per year. So, you know, I think the lens, you know, has been gloomy in terms of looking out on Illinois' budget projections going back to during the Biden administration. So this is nothing new, regardless of who's in the White House. We need to get Illinois' fiscal house in order so we are not as much in flux year to year based upon what's going on with the federal government.
The governor likes to say that they have passed a balanced budget every year he's been in office. He inherited a fiscal mess from the Rauner administration. Do you think he has earned that sort of credit claiming?
No, I mean, Brian, every budget has not been balanced, you know, but I will say what Governor Pritzker has done well has been growing reserves, which has been responsible. You know, we have seen, you know, we had some robust amount of federal dollars coming into Illinois, as other states did as well around the country, related to the COVID pandemic. And the governor has taken that opportunity to build up reserves. We have seen, and has also taken the opportunity to put Illinois in a position that, you know, for credit upgrades. So I would say, yes, there is some that the governor has done well, but then there have also been other areas of policy and putting new programs in place that long-term were simply unaffordable for Illinoisans, asking too much of Illinois taxpayers, you know, hearkening back to the, you know, Medicaid program for working age undocumented immigrants was something that ultimately proved way too unaffordable for Illinoisans and was scaled back in last year's budget. So I would say some good and some missteps.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are listening to a conversation I taped on Friday with Illinois Senate Republican leader John Curran. I want to talk about some of the immigration issues that have been in Illinois, or I should say immigration enforcement tactics. Part of that has to do with the Illinois Trust Act. You last year called for repealing that. There was some legislation on this from Republicans. Hasn't gone anywhere. It limits cooperation between local law enforcement and federal immigration authorities. Where are you on that question today? Do you still support repeal of the Trust Act?
Brian, the part that we called for repealing is the limitations on coordination between local, state, and federal officials. That is bad policy in any topic, any scenario. I think what most people expect is that their local government, their state government, and their federal governmental officials all work in conjunction and coordinate. Yes, we all have our particularly assigned areas, but this system and coordination worked just fine until, you know, that until recently, when the Trust Act was amended under Governor Pritzker, which prohibited that type of coordination between local officials, state officials, and the federal government. So that's the part of the Trust Act. I mean, there was a lot more to the Trust Act that was put in place. That's the part of the Trust Act that Senate Republicans find most troubling, I find most troubling, and should be repealed. We should be encouraging cooperation amongst our government officials with other branches of government.
You know, the federal immigration enforcement was intense last year in Illinois. There's thoughts that it may be coming back when the weather warms a little. ICE operations in Chicago and the suburbs. What do you think of how Illinois responded as a state to that?
I mean, I think Illinois responded. State government, state police, I think did an excellent job and responded about as well as you could to that situation in ensuring security around those facilities to the best that we could. A very heightened emotional situations playing themselves out. So I really think our state police, our state officials, did a really good job considering all of the extraneous circumstances around it. I think just the heightened nature and the emotional around the topic has made this a very difficult issue in function. And so my hope is, as should that return, that we're going to, we will have better cooperation and streamlined processes, and maybe, and hopefully some of the, quite frankly, some of the tactics that I think were most publicized, hopefully leave that part of the playbook out of it.
Well, that's actually raises another point I wanted to ask you about. You were a local prosecutor for, 19 years in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office? When federal agents use tear gas on crowds or chase people through neighborhoods, there have been calls for local prosecutors to be looking into that, masking, changing license plates, violating traffic laws. What do you think about that? What role should local prosecutors play, if any, when federal agents operate in their jurisdictions?
I mean, Brian, if federal agents are operating under the color of law in carrying out their official duties, that is not going to be the place of local prosecutors to police that. That is going to be the place of the U.S. Attorney's Office to police that matter. Should that get outside of acting under color of law, then you have a different situation. But we are a society of laws. We have the appropriate laws in place to handle that. But some of the policy agenda of some of the Democratic officials on trying to make it more difficult for immigration agents to carry out their official duties that they're sworn to under color of law, all that is doing is making these situations more tense and more unpredictable, and increasing the probability that there's going to be some bad outcome or some harm in some manner. So, that type of action needs to stop. Federal officials should not be stepping outside of their official duties and carrying them out.
I was going to say, there does seem to be a certain amount of glee you see in, the use of tear gas and pepper balls and things like that.
Yeah. And that is kind of the back and forth of what's going on here. And that's the part that I would really hope does not repeat itself. If there is a future concentration of focus here in the state of Illinois.
I know we're running short on time. I also want to ask you about the U.S. Supreme Court, which ruled last week, as we're going to air, that Congressman Mike Bost has standing to challenge an Illinois law that basically allows mail-in ballots to be counted up to 2 weeks after Election Day. Congressman Bost is working with this outside group to challenge that law in Illinois. What do you think of that? I've heard other Republicans say that they think some of the president's obsession with, you know, election integrity as he views it has actually been damaging to Republicans in terms of, you know, mail-in ballots and that sort of thing. What do you think of this challenge to the way Illinois has counted ballots?
Hey, Brian, I mean, mail-in ballots are a part of our process, and it is something that we as Republicans need to embrace. I would say counting ballots up to 2 weeks after Election Day, there could be some legitimate point there that is, you know, too long, too far. I had the opportunity to be over in Ireland during their local elections, and it's weeks upon weeks before they have any idea who won. At some point, everything builds towards Election Day. Maybe a shorter period. We'll see what the Supreme Court weighs in on. But that's the appropriate forum. So, like, that is a perfect example of our system working. It's going to make its way through the courts, who review, the constitutionality of laws put in place by states and the federal government. So I would just say I'm pleased that it's going to get an opportunity to make its way through the court system. We'll see what ultimately happens. Maybe nothing. Nothing may come of this. But it is once again a reminder to everyone of how our system of checks and balances actually works.
Senate Minority Leader John Curran is a Republican from the western suburbs. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian.
Coming up after the break, we'll talk with Dan Petrella, political writer at the Chicago Tribune, more about the upcoming legislative session, how Governor Pritzker's national political ambitions might interplay with that, and we'll talk about whether the Chicago Bears can find more success lobbying in the halls of the Capitol building than they did this past weekend in Soldier Field. It's the 21st Show. Stay with us.